Praise the Lord. I love how the message goes with the music and vice versa. We just sang this morning, the choir sang, Create in Me a Clean Heart. And we just had a song talking about the heart change in a person's life, the battle that goes on. And this morning, I'd like to preach a message about the heart. In fact, I've entitled, "In Cultivating a Heart of Integrity." And so Daniel chapter 1, if you would, this morning, Daniel chapter 1 in your Bibles. We're going to be looking at this chapter as a whole. We'll go back and forth throughout the verses of this chapter. But I want us to get a hold of the thought this morning that we can have a heart of integrity and that we need to have a heart of integrity. I want us a purpose in our heart to do what is right, no matter the cost, this morning. Purpose in our heart to do what's right, no matter the cost. As we look at this chapter in the Word of God, we see a man named Daniel who made this decision. And we look at his life this morning, we get to go and walk through the steps that he makes in his life, and we have the opportunity to take these same steps in our lives as well. So Daniel chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried in the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake to Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the princes of the eunuchs gave them names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God hath brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the princes of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse likened than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had sent over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of our children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in the flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to preach the word of God this morning, and I pray that you'd help each person here, Lord, who is underneath the sound of your word, help them to understand the truth that you have this morning. Lord, I pray that you would search each one of our hearts today. Lord, for you know our hearts and you try our hearts. Lord, I pray, as the psalmist said, that you would see if there's any wicked way in us. I pray you would lead us in the way of everlasting. Help us to have an eternal perspective this morning. And Lord, I pray if we have a heart that is not right with you this morning, that you would help us to get that right. Lord, you'd help us to desire above anything else to serve you and put you first in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Daniel chapter 8, if you focus Daniel verse 8, if you focus your attention on the first phrase there. But Daniel, what three words are there? Four words. But Daniel what? Four next words. Purpose in what? In his heart. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Now I just want to challenge you this morning on the thought of purposing your heart to be a godly man, a godly woman, a godly teenager in this day and age of ungodliness. The human heart is an incredible organ. Every day, the heart beats over 100,000 times, sending 2,000 gallons of blood surging through your body. Although it's no bigger than your fist, your heart has a mighty job of keeping blood flowing through the 60 miles of blood vessels that feed your organs and tissues. Now, the heart, if I were to ask you this morning, if I were to ask you, is your heart important to your physical heart? Almost every one of you here today, unless it was a teenager joking with me, would say, yes, my heart is very important. My physical heart, I want to take care of my heart. We live in a world that tries to take care of their physical heart. Try to do exercise to keep our heart in shape. We try to eat healthy, eat the right things to make sure that our heart is all right. Because later on in life, we don't want to have issues of our heart. None of us want to wake up one morning and have a heart attack because we didn't take care of our body. The heart, the human heart is extremely important for our life. But much more important for our life as Christians is our spiritual heart. Sadly to say this morning, if we were to treat our spiritual heart the way that we treat our human heart, we'd be in a spiritual heart attack right now. We'd be in cardiac arrest in our walk with the Lord, in our prayer life, in our time spending with God's people in church. We would be dying spiritually. And here in this day and age, we see in Daniel chapter 1, at the start of this passage of Scripture, that things are not going well for the children of Judah. The children of Judah for the last several years have made poor decision after poor decision. Pastor's been preaching to the kings these last several months. He's finished it, but the last year and a half, I believe it has been, and been preaching about all the different kings. If you look at the king of Manasseh, Manasseh made a decision. There was a turning point that God made a decision. He said, I'm done with Judah. Manasseh made a decision that he was going to turn his back on God and go into wicked sin. Manasseh was taken to Babylon. He was put in captivity. He repented and went back to Judah and tried to do what was right the rest of his life. But because of his sin, the descendants there followed his example, his poor example. And they went into idolatry. They went into immorality. They went into wicked sins, sinful lifestyles of the world. And here in the first passage of Scripture here, first verses here, we see that Jehoiakim is taken prisoner of Nebuchadnezzar. He's taken prisoner of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, it's interesting here that Nebuchadnezzar was a very powerful king. He was an incredible king, had an incredible kingdom of Babylon. But that's not why Judah fell. That's not why Judah was destroyed. That's not why the idols were desecrated and brought into the Nebuchadnezzar's temple. That's not why at all. The reason why we see here is in verse number 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Now, aren't you thankful that we have a God that's in control? Aren't you thankful that we have a God, although things in this world right now seem like they are out of complete control? If you turn on the news, if you talk to people in town here that are not saved, they don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if we were to talk to the police officers in town and hear all the things that are going on in this town, we may feel that this world is out of control. But God is sovereign this morning, Christian. God is still on the throne, and he is still in control of your life. You're here this morning, and you may want to doubt the goodness of God. Can I just challenge you? Do not doubt the goodness that God knows what you're going through. God understands what you've been through, and God is with you during it. We see here in verse number 9, if you look at verse number 9, it says, Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. God was in control. God wasn't in control. God was a companion of Daniel. He was right there with Daniel. He was right there, as we read in chapter 6 of Daniel, in the lion's den, protecting him with his angel. He was there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in chapter 3 of Daniel in the fiery furnace. And we have a God, just like in Daniel's time, who will not leave us, and he will not forsake us. I love as we start this passage of Scripture here, as we look at it, we see that it's an important issue nowadays to have a heart that is pure with God. It's important to have a heart of integrity. Proverbs 4:23 says, Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart. Keep your heart. It's an important truth, not only for teenagers this morning, but for adults. Several weeks ago, I was asked if I would, I don't know if I was asked or I invited myself, but either way, I went to ride a combine for the first time in my life. And that was a neat experience. I had an opportunity to get in a combine. I didn't grow up from any farming background. I didn't know hardly anything about farms. I won't share how much I didn't know this morning, but as I came here and I talked with several of the folks in our church that were dairy farmers or did other kind of farming, I was just blown away. And I really wanted to ride in a combine. And so I had the opportunity to ride in a combine and see the actual work that goes on from the inside. I was amazed at the power of the combine. I was amazed at just the all the equipment inside there and how fast all the crops were just quickly reaped and put into the back of the combine. It was just incredible to see all the trash just shooting out and then all the beans. At that time, we were just harvesting beans and all the beans being put in the back, pouring just so fast, incredible. I was amazed, just an amazing work. And as I was riding in the combine, I thought several thoughts came to my mind. I thought, man, this is an incredible incredible machine. This is an incredible field. This is an incredible job. And I thought, this is hard work. I was asking the young man I was with, I was asking him, you know, so what, how many hours do people put in here? Now, how many hours? I mean, how many hours a day do you have? Or what do the hours look during harvest? And I said, well, we basically go from morning to evening. Well, that's crazy. Yeah, that's a lot of time. And I was looking at the crops, and we had two different places that we were in. One was a regular crop, and one of them was one that had been basically mud, been bogged down by rain and dirt and dust was going everywhere. And I was thinking, this is a lot of work. This is a lot of work for people to do this. You know, the crops are very important. In order to have good crops, you've got to have good soil. You've got to have good soil. You've got to take the time to have it watered. You pray that rain will come, you know, at certain times. You pray that it won't come at certain times for crops. And your desire is that you would yield a good fruit, okay, a great harvest for that year. And so, as I was thinking through that, I was thinking about cultivating our hearts. It takes time to cultivate a heart of integrity. It takes time, if we want to be a man or a woman of God, it takes time to be that person that God wants us to be. So I want to just share with you this morning, I don't get an opportunity to do this, but I want to share with you this morning my philosophy, okay, our philosophy of Calvary Baptist Church, and I know it's pastor's philosophy as well, for our youth. For our youth focus, and not just for our teenagers, but for our children. And it's also our philosophy for our adults as well. It's our philosophy of our church. But for us to have hearts of integrity. And it's found here in Daniel chapter 1. And we just go through a few thoughts through Daniel chapter 1. And you're able to see this morning if you have a heart of integrity by the time we get done. We're able to look through that. So I want you to see, first of all, Number one is the place of challenge. The place of challenge. It was a woeful situation in Daniel's life, it would seem, at that time. Daniel had been taken from his homeland with about 10,000 other Hebrew children at that time. Most scholars say that Daniel was around 14 years old at this time. Imagine 14 years old being taken from your home. Yeah, that's got to be a place of challenge in Daniel's life. It had to be a woeful situation in the minds of those parents, of those Hebrew children, many of them, and of those that were their captors as well, thinking, man, we have conquered them. We've destroyed them. We see in this passage of Scripture that it wasn't necessarily Daniel's fault that he was there in that situation. It wasn't his fault. We see the first challenge that Daniel probably struggled with is the challenge we struggle with today. And that's a challenge with bitterness. Might have struggled with his life thinking, God, how could you allow this? How could you bring me to a situation like this? My parents made this decision. My grandparents made these poor decisions. These other people in my life made these decisions, but I'm affected now by the decisions that they have made. The decisions, mark it down, the decisions that you make in your life, parents and grandparents, they will affect your children. They will affect the next generation. If you have a decision in your life as a father, as a mother, to say, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to be pure, I'm going to have a heart of integrity, that will affect your children. That's a wonderful thing. But also, if you make a decision in your life to say, we're going to say that these things that God says are important are not important in our family, in our life, they will also affect you in a negative way. And here in the nation of Judah, we see that the sins of the parents have now come upon the children. And the punishment is not just upon the parents, not just upon the grandparents, but it's upon the children. But nowhere in the book of Daniel do we ever see a spirit of bitterness. I'll be speaking a little more tonight about bitterness, the topic of bitterness. But in Daniel's life, there was no bitterness to be found. No questioning God. It's an incredible thought that Daniel, in all the circumstances he went through, never questioned God. Never thought, God, I don't think you're in control. I don't understand what you're doing. It doesn't make sense. He had a heart of belief. He believed God, that God was going to work this out for good in his life. I want you to see also, there was a challenge of Babylon. Challenge of Babylon. Babylon was a worldly place. As these young teenage boys got in there, into this place, they had this opportunity to be the best of the best. Now, before that happened, the Bible says that they were made eunuchs. They were eunuchs. Now, understanding from the scripture here, a lot of times we go over this passage of scripture and we kind of just skip through this, but this is very important for the story this morning. Daniel and the other Hebrew children were made eunuchs. It means they were not able to have children. They were not able to have their own family. The dreams of being a father, the dreams of being a husband to a family and leading them, those were gone for these young men. They were gone. And so Daniel could have easily had bitterness in his heart, but he didn't. And here he is in Babylon, and he's here in this wicked city. And Nebuchadnezzar says, you know what? You and your other friends here, I'm going to pick you guys out, you special ones, I've got a treat for you. I've got a treat for you. You guys are going to get to eat at the king's table, the king's meat, and you'll be able to drink of the king's wine. You're going to have an opportunity to be schooled in the finest of education, and you'll be able to be in the king's court right by me. In fact, the Bible shows us here there was actually some huge requirements to being in this kingdom. Not just anybody could get in. One of the requirements was you had to be a children of the king's seed of the princes. You had to be a children of the king's seed of the princes. You also had to be a child without no blemish, but well-favored. Okay, I wouldn't be able to be there that day. I wouldn't be able to be with the rest of them, right? Some of you are saying, yeah, me neither. Hey, skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science. I mean, they had to be very, very smart. They had to be skilled academically. They had to look good on the outside. And this is what the world was saying. We want you to be real smart. We want you to look real good on the outside. We want you to come from a really good background. Doesn't that sound like what the world looks in people, at people today and say, hey, that's a good kid because they got money. Yeah. Hey, they're well-educated. We got poured a lot of money into them. They went to a good school. They're really, really good. Although, they come from a really good home, a really good family, a really good group of people. So they're must be a really good person. But here in the Word of God here, we see that Daniel had these things. God allowed him to have every one of these requirements to be able to be in this school. Says he had to have ability to stand in the king's palace. Had the ability to be able to talk and to speak and have the ability to converse with other people and be able to not make a fool of himself amongst others. And number three, this is where a lot of us would lose here. He had the ability to learn the tongue of the Chaldeans. He had to learn how to speak another language. Had to learn it. That's hard enough to speak one language for some of us. But to speak another language and learn it. That was an incredible thing. So here in the passage of scripture here, we see that Daniel had all of these requirements. Let me just tell you this morning, it was not an accident that Daniel fit all these requirements. It was not something that Daniel woke up and his friends as well, his Jewish friends, and thought, oh, this is neat, we have all of these. Daniel knew, God's with me. God's behind me. Even though I'm in a place of challenge, although I could have some bitterness, although I'm in a worldly environment, I know that God has me here for a reason. It's an incredible truth there. Each one of us here this morning have the qualifications to cultivate a heart of integrity. God does not have a list that says that will tell us, hey, you know what, you don't make this list because you haven't gone to school. Hey, you're not good looking enough to serve me. Hey, you don't have the ability, the talents in this academic prowess that you should have, so now you can't do that. God doesn't look at us that way. His list of qualifications are much different in the Word of God. In fact, his requirements for cultivating a heart for God are this. First of all, you must be saved. Amen? You got to be saved. You want to have a heart of integrity for our youth group. My philosophy is, first of all and foremost, we want our teenagers to be saved. We want them to know the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life and the power of the Holy Spirit in them and through them. But they will never have that without asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from their sins. Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise God for having teenagers who have a tender heart at a young age and say, I need to be saved. Hey, this morning, if you want to be a man or a woman or a teenager with a heart of integrity, first of all, you need to be saved. Romans 10:13, my favorite verse in the Bible, says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why? Because you believed in your heart. You trusted. The heart is the inner, we're not talking about physical heart here, it's the inner emotions. The will inside of you, that decision that God has given every one of us to choose or reject his son, Jesus Christ. And each one of you this morning has that decision to either accept that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he's the only way to heaven, or you have a decision to reject it. But mark it down, my friend, you'll be able to, one day you will stand before God. And you will have to give an answer for the reason that you did not give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Requirements for cultivating a heart for God. First of all, you need to be saved. Number two, you need to submit to God's will for your life. Submit to God's will for your life. We got a lot of teenagers in our youth group here at Calvary Baptist Church. And they love to have fun. They love to play games. And they're a great group of teenagers. I love them. They've done a great job as parents. But one thing that's a prayer, one area where my wife and I pray consistently for our teenagers is that they would submit to God's will to their life. That they wouldn't chase the worldliness of Babylon. They wouldn't chase the dreams that God does not want them to chase or to follow. But they would ground themselves in the Word of God and find themselves loving the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind. We want teenagers that will submit themselves to God's Word and say, this is what God's Word says, so this is what I'm going to do. John 14:15 says this, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Hey, if you care for me, if you really want to please me, then just do what I say. Some of you parents this morning can raise your hand and testify to that. Hey, if you love me, son, if you love me, daughter, just do what I'm asking you to do. Hey, do it with a good spirit. Do it with the right attitude. Understand that I'm teaching you this. I'm ordering you to do this because it's good for your life. Submitting to God's will for your life. Number three, requirements for cultivating a heart for God. In our youth group and in our church. Number three, serving those around you. Follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 2. The idea of looking on others better than himself. The Word of God says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He said, I'm nobody. I was telling our teenagers this morning, I'm nobody. I'm nobody. I have no reputation. He made himself a servant and humbled himself in the form of the likeness of men. Serve those around you. Requirements for cultivating a heart from God. Let me just tell you this morning, we all have a heart problem, but if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your heart has been infected by sin, and it's never been inspected. Okay, it's never been directed. It's never been corrected by the Word of God. And if you're here this morning, you're wondering, if I die today, I'm not sure where I'd go. I'm honestly not sure right now, Pastor Nate, where I'd go if I die right now. Can I tell you, the Word of God has the answer for that, and that is this. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's your heart. You understand that. Now, we understand that the heart is desperately wicked. The book of Jeremiah tells us that. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Because our heart is wicked, because our heart has problems, because we can't believe our heart, as the world says, we can't follow our heart, we have to follow the Word of God and get our direction from God's Word. God's Word tells us that each one of us here this morning are sinners in need of a Savior. God's Word tells us this morning that if you're here this morning without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you're lost and you're on your way to a real place called hell with real people that are experiencing real pain right now. My friend, I would not be your friend. I would not care about you if I did not tell you the awful truth about hell this morning. There is a place called hell. There's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to know him now. The place of challenge in Daniel's life there was, You know, there was bitter, a chance to be bitter. There's a chance to give into the worldly parties of Babylon and just do what they all did there. But he didn't give in. I want you to see, secondly, this morning, the point of compromise. The point of compromise, the wicked surroundings there. We see in the passage of Scripture here that Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, all had their names changed. Daniel's name meant this: God is my judge. Isn't that a good name? God is my judge. Hey, God's the one who judges me. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Nobody else is going to judge me. God is the one that I'm going to stand before one day. They changed his name to Belteshazzar, which means Baal will protect me. What a difference in meaning. Hananiah, his name meant God had been gracious. They changed his name to worshiper of the God of the moon. It's a Shadrach. Mishael meant who is what God is. They changed his name to worshiper of the God of wine. Azariah meant God had helped. Changed his name to worshiper of the God Nebo. They changed their names. They see the point of compromise here. They said, we're going to change your name. Not only did they change their names, but they changed their school. Changed their school, totally changed their whole education. Now they're getting a master's degree in the Babylonian culture. They were getting indoctrinated by the Babylonians, and everything that they believed was being put into their minds. And Daniel and these young teenagers at this time in their life would have to filter out all that was not true, all that was against the Word of God, all that was against the what they had been taught as young children from God's Word, from the law. But we see they could change the name of Daniel. They could change the name of the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They changed their names. But they could not change Daniel's nature. They could not change who he was. They could not change who he had become in God and who his God was. God was still his judge. And it's interesting to see, as we read the book of Daniel, that Daniel refers to himself as the whole book of Daniel as Daniel. And they changed his name, but he knew who he was as a believer. He was not going to compromise. He was not going to change. He was going to stay true to the Word of God. At Calvary Baptist Church this morning, I praise the Lord for a pastor who sticks by the Word of God and says, we will not change. Hey, the world's going to change the music. The world's going to change the lifestyle of those in the church and what they allow in the church. I'm sure you that are older in our church can tell us stories of how it was way back when and how drastic the change is from when you were in church till today. Let me just tell you, we've seen nothing yet. The times are getting worse, and there's the question is in our minds today, where people are we even having churches in America? Most of the churches with the name church on there aren't churches. Aren't churches that have the Word of God, that are preaching salvation, that are preaching the gospel through Christ alone. And we're not making a decision in our life that we are not going to compromise with sin. We can look great on the outside. We can really look good as Christians, but if we compromise, it's going to come out eventually. I was driving with my older brother before he was saved. I didn't know he wasn't saved at the time. He had claimed he was saved, and my brother is doing phenomenal right now, doing a great work in Illinois right now. He's an awesome teacher, history teacher. His kids love him. But at this time, I thought he was saved. He was in high school. He was a senior. I was a little junior higher, eighth grader. And we were in the car, and we were driving. And he had talked about how he loved the Lord and cared about God. And I just, assumed that in his life. I didn't know he was struggling with sin in his life. Didn't understand that he was totally living a fake life. And he had compromised on a lot of issues in his life. So as we were driving down the road, we were driving. And somebody pulled out in front of him. Pulled out in front of him. And he got this close to hitting the car. And I don't even remember what color the car was. I don't remember all the rest of the details about what happened. But I remember this. I'll never forget the words that came out of my brother's mouth. He cussed a blue streak like I've never heard before. Just cussed it out. He cussed a blue streak out. He stopped and realized what he had done and realized I was in the car with him. He looked at me, a look of shame, and kept driving. Didn't say anything. I never forgot that. He looked really good on the outside. He looked good in the Christian school. Looked good to my parents. Didn't look like he had a heart of rebellious heart at that time. But what was in his heart came out. No, when you compromise, what's in your heart's going to come out. When you go against the Word of God, what the Word of God has taught you, what the Holy Spirit has convicted you, when you compromise and do that which you know is wrong, then sin's going to come out. And you're going to be named for who you really are. I want you to see in this portion of Scripture here that we see that there's a point of compromise. They changed their names, they changed their school, but they could not change their nature. I want you to see when credibility with culture is the goal of compromise. When credibility with a culture is the goal, compromise is sure to follow. I want you to listen to that. When credibility with a culture is the goal, compromise is sure to follow. John Getch, a famous preacher, said that. Said, you know, if you are going to desire to be credible with this culture, you're going to compromise. You're going to sin. Our goal is not to be like the world. Our goal is not to be like the culture. It's to be different from the world, to be set apart. If we look like the world, they're not going to be able to see Christ. I remember as a young college student sitting down with some Christian friends of mine after a long week at camp, Christian camp. And we had a good time together, and we were having a great time talking about how God was working in lives and how kids were getting saved, and it was just a fantastic week. We sat down, and one of the guys said, "Hey, let's go up and let's watch a show here. It's really funny." And he mentioned the name of the show, and he said, we need to watch the show. I had heard of it, never seen it. Remember, I sat down. I was with all my friends. A lot of them were a lot more spiritual than I was at the time. Loved the Lord, and probably still are. They loved the Lord, and had a heart for God. But I remember as we sat down, as the show started, my heart grieved me. I was convicted. I had a moment that I wanted to compromise, and I wanted to say, hey, you know, I gotta get out of here is what I thought in my mind. I stayed there for a little bit, and I kind of wrestled with it. There were some things that were on there. There were some words that were said, some cuss words. There were some other things that God had spoken to me before and told me that's wrong. But I rationalized in my mind. I rationalized, well, these are counselors. These are people that love the Lord. You know, they have a heart for God. They have God's power in their life. They're seeing God work. You know, and to my shame, I waited longer than I should have. I ended up getting up and leaving. It would have been one to leave, but a lot longer than I should have. I remember thinking that day, you know what, I don't want to compromise. I don't care who the person is. I don't care how old they are. I don't care their age. I don't care their position. But if they're not doing what the Word of God says, I will not compromise with them. And I trust in your lives, each one of you have made those decisions. You've come to those same points, those same places in your life where you had to say, you know what, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to give into the world. I'm going to follow God no matter what it takes. I want you to see here, we find in the philosophy of this youth ministry, in the life of this teenager Daniel, not only there is a point of compromise here, but number three, we see a personal conviction. This is what identified Daniel above any of the other teenagers. Even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even these three identified Daniel specifically because Daniel had an individual conviction. Look at verse number 8 again. This is a key text this morning. But Daniel purposed in what? His heart. Individual. Not, you don't see in verse number 8, but they purposed in their heart to do what's right. No, Daniel made an individual choice. He made a conviction, had a conviction of his own. He said, I purpose in my heart that what? That he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, listen to this. He requested of the princes of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel was the one who said, I've got a request. I've got to make a request to the king here, to the one that's in charge of all the eunuchs here. First of all, I've got to make a request. And his request was cordial. You read the scriptures here. It was very cordial. It was very gracious. He was very wise in how he requested what he wanted. But mark it down. Daniel was not going back. It was an individual choice. He made a decision alone. Okay, personal decision alone, nobody else with him. He said, I'm going to do this. I heard a preacher a long time ago say that, you know, it's amazing you get to see the teenager who's really on fire for God is the one that's willing to be on fire for God alone. The teenager who says, I don't care what anybody else thinks. There's a time at camp, and I love camp, and I love youth group too. But there's a time at youth group where God's working, and a bunch of kids will raise their hand, and all together they'll make a decision together. It's amazing. A lot of times those kids will fall by the wayside. Their decisions will fall by the wayside. But that one kid that says, you know what? I got to do this. I'm going to make this decision in my life. I'm going to follow God no matter what it takes. That's the one that stands with the Lord. When I was traveling evangelism as a college student, I remember several times where the evangelist would preach and an individual teenager would stand up and leave. I mean, it was like a school of 300. And one teen, I thought, man, that's awkward for that kid. That's embarrassing. I mean, the evangelist would preach and one kid would get up. And those are the kids we heard from youth pastors later on. They would call us and say, hey, so-and-so is still going strong. Hey, so-and-so still remembers that message you preached and that truth from God's word, and he's still following the Lord. The ones that stood alone and made an individual choice. As are many of our seniors this year, are going to college this next year, they're going to have to make a decision, an individual choice, to stand alone. Some of you in college at this time right now, you know, you have to make an individual choice to say, I'm not the same as you. I don't do the same things as you. I don't talk the same way. Hey, I don't go out and drink with you guys. No, I'm not going out and be immoral with you guys. No, I'm different. I'm a Christian. Why? Because Daniel had a personal conviction. Notice it wasn't his conviction of his parents. A lot of teenagers, they will ride the convictions of their parents. And we wonder why in our youth ministry or philosophy that as soon as they get out of the church, they're gone. They're nowhere to be found. Because even at this young age, teenagers need to be cultivating personal convictions. Now, I want you to understand that individual convictions don't mean anything if, number two, they're not a biblical conviction. They've got to be a biblical conviction. At verse number 8, we see that Daniel's conviction about not eating the king's meat or the wine was a biblical conviction. Okay, they had changed his name. They had changed his school. He hadn't compromised a bit there. Looked like he might, as they asked him, but he didn't compromise at all. As I look at the scriptures here he has an opportunity now, though, to compromise, to do what's wrong. But he says, I'm not going to do that. I don't desire to do that. Here's why. Look at Leviticus chapter 4, 11 through 20. Tell us that it was against the law, okay, the law of the Jews, to eat the meat, much of the meat that was at the king's court. The meat that was actually at the king's court was not allowed, was not something that the Jews could eat. And Daniel knew that. And not everything on the king's table was something that they couldn't eat. But Daniel knew there would be things that would be put before him that he would have to eat. And he didn't want to do that. He said, I don't want to do that. Looking here at the wine as well, Proverbs tells us about the wine, not to look at the wine when it is red. When it stirs itself, all right. That's talking about the fermentation process. Not to look at that wine, and no doubt in that, as we look at the history of Babylon, there was much drunkenness there. There was lots of folks there. That's what they did. They partied. And it was something that Daniel was going to stay away from. Some scholars say that even in Babylon, they would mix their wine with blood. And that was something that was very clear from the Old Testament, that Jews were not supposed to drink blood at all. Daniel made that decision that from the word of God, clearly, I am not going to give in. It's a personal conviction. Understand this. His conviction was not just something he didn't think about and just did it on the spur of the moment. It's something that Daniel had cultivated over years. He had cultivated a heart of integrity. He had made decisions over a lifetime that had brought him to this point. My hope and prayer as a youth pastor for our young people as they leave the church, as they leave their homes and their families, is probably the same as the parents here, is that they would have their own personal convictions grounded on the word of God, that they would stand tall, they would stand strong on the word of God, unashamed, and declare the truth from God's word. He had an opportunity in his life to make a decision there. And we see that he made the right choice. You know, it's amazing that when he made that right choice, others followed. Daniel was the one that went before. Maybe he was the spokesman. Maybe he was the one that had the courage to speak out first. Whatever it was, Daniel's the one that spoke specifically to the man in charge. And the other three followed. On the list of all the 10,000 children, we get to see four names in this chapter. Four names of teenage children that did what was right amongst those who did that which was wrong. Daniel's request here, if you look in verse number 10, is very, verse number 11. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this other stuff that you've told us to do, eat the meat or drink the wine. But here's what I want to do. He said, here's what I will do. He said, can we have a 10-day test? 10-day test where if we just eat pulse, okay, sounds kind of gross right now, okay? Pulse, right? He was talking about vegetables and grain. If we just eat vegetables and grain, then you know what? Then we will be able to tell you that our God is with us, that our God hasn't left us, that our God is in control, and that our God wants us to do this. Just give us a chance. Give us 10 days. At first, they were a little nervous. They said, well, I could lose my head over this. This is it's extremely important that you don't do this. But you know, they made a decision. Okay, 10-day test, that's fine. 10-day test, and we'll come back. If you're not as strong as the other rest of the people that are drinking the king's wine and the meat, then you're going to have to eat the meat and drink the wine. Daniel said, we'll just do the 10-day test, okay? We'll just do it. So they did it for 10 days. They drank water and ate vegetables and grain. Let me just tell you, if you drink water and eat vegetables and grain, you know, I've done some study on this for your whole life, you don't gain weight usually, okay? You don't usually gain weight. It's just something that doesn't happen, okay? So you don't go to a vegetarian diet to gain weight usually, okay? So here they are, and they're eating these vegetables. They're eating healthy, but the Bible says this, that they're fairer and fatter than the other ones. 10 days later, they come into the king's court. They come in. He looks at them, and he checks. He looks at every one of them, and these ones stand out. These four stand out amongst the rest. You know why? They stand out amongst the rest because they obeyed God. God worked a miracle. He worked a miracle in their lives because they were willing to stand out by faith and say, you know what? We're going to follow God in our diet. We're going to follow God because of what God's word said. We don't care what anybody else does. We are going to do what God wants us to do. I want you to see finally this morning, as we finish, we're almost done this morning, but I want us to finish, the prevailing courage, of Daniel in Daniel chapter 1. If we look at the word of God here in the life of Daniel, it doesn't stop here. In fact, it just starts in chapter 1. Throughout Daniel's whole life, he makes a decision not to compromise, to stand by his conviction and do what's right no matter the cost. This morning, you're here and you're saying, I want to do that. I want to have a heart that's pure. I want to have a heart that's a heart of integrity before God, that no matter who's around, no matter who sees me, I do what's right. I'm determined to do that. I just remind you this morning that determination without God is wasted. There's a lot of determined people in this world that are determined to overcome maybe a disease or overcome an alcohol problem in their life or a problem of immorality. And they're trying so hard. They're determined to do that in their own flesh. But without God, it is a waste. It's a waste of time. Your heart is so important this morning. Let me help you understand your heart, number one, determines who you are. The heart that you have right now determines who you are. The heart you have inside, you say, I'm a pretty good person, Pastor Nate. The Bible says differently. The heart is desperately wicked. Your heart says you're not a good person. Who you are inside, who you really are, God says, no, you're not. In fact, each one of us are wicked people. Number two, your heart determines who you will become. If you don't have a heart change, you're going to continue in your life to do that which is wrong against God. There needs to be a heart change. Your heart is going to determine who become. If the heart of the young age of our youth group, of our children here at Calvary Baptist Church, if they're not cultivated, if they're not nourished, they're not trained, they're not given the teaching they need, they're going to become people not of the book, but people of the world. They're going to be those that are cast aside in their walk with the Lord, are not following God as they should. And number three, your heart determines where you will go. Your heart determines where you will go. You have to make a decision that you will not let the world lead your heart. You will not let your emotions lead your heart, but you will let God's word direct and guide your steps. Jeremiah 17:9 again says, the heart is desperate, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart has been infected by sin and needs to be corrected by the word of God. Corrected by the word of God, directed by the Spirit of God, and protected by the Spirit and the word of God. Your heart needs correction. It needs direction. It needs protection from this world. And each one of us has an infected heart. We make sure that we understand that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. Know what is right this morning, but do what is right. Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through 23 tells us the importance of the heart. Jesus said unto them, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. For from within of our heart proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blaspheming, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Everything in our life that comes out is from an evil heart. We need to guard our hearts, understand that we're going to have courage in this day and age to say no to sin and yes to the Lord. We're going to have to say no to the world and yes to God. This morning, there may be a father, there may be a mother, there may be a teenager that says, you know, I don't have a heart of integrity. I look on the outside like I look all right. I look fine on the outside. I may look all dressed up today. I may have a smile on my face, but I know inside I don't have a heart of integrity. I know that God is not the most important person to me. I know that I'm tempted to compromise, or maybe I've even compromised this week with sin. Maybe I don't have the convictions that I know I have from the Word of God. I'm like the book of James says, I'm like a wave driven with the wind and tossed to and fro, back and forth. I'm double-minded in my life. And I need to have conviction. I need to be grounded on the Word of God. This morning, can I just share you with good news? You can. You can have great news from God's Word, but you need to be in the Word. I love the psalm that says, oh, for a heart to praise my God. A heart from sin set free. A heart that always feels thy love so freely shed for me. A wonderful truth in God's Word is if you're going to have a heart for God, you're going to have to make an intentional decision in your life to say, I am going to have a heart of integrity. Integrity will never happen on accident. Integrity will never be something that just that one day you decide you're going to do it and you do it. It's something you work on for years. I look at the building project here in our church, and I'm so thankful for the men that have invested their time and their lives in this building. Wonderful job. It's almost to the end. Praise the Lord. And almost to the end. We're thankful for each person that invested their time and the skills that they had to use to be able to invest in the building. And we want to invest in the building. We want to see it grow. We want to see it look nice. But you know what we really, really want? We really want to see people here in this church that we can invest in. We want to see people's lives in that can be changed by the power of the Word of God. And we want to see visitors come in. And want to see them hear the preaching of God's Word and see them get saved. And their whole direction of life change from a life of sin and of selfishness to a life of selflessness serving the Savior. That's our desire as a church family. That's the philosophy of our youth program, our philosophy of our church, that we would put our convictions on the Word of God. We would not compromise. That we would have courage that would prevail in this day and age. I want to challenge us as a church family this morning, if you're slipping, if you might be compromising some areas of your life that you know God does not want you to compromise in, get it right this morning. There's an area in your life where God has convicted you about something in your life that you know, as a father, you know you shouldn't be doing that. Stop it. Get in the Word of God. Get it right. And allow God to continue to grow you and to nurture you through His Word. As a child, there's a song that my wife and I, in fact, this week, I was mentioning her. I said, there's one song as a child that really, really impacted my life. It really did. It was a song that really impacted my life as a child. And I mentioned the song to my wife, and she said, that's the song that impacted my life. I said, wow, that's neat. It was really neat this week. I said, it's just a powerful song, just a simple song. But the chorus goes like this. Do right till the stars fall. Do right till the last call. Do right when there's no one else to stand by you. Do right when you're all alone. Do right though it's never known. Do right since you love the Lord. Do right. Hey, very simple words, but a very important truth. Let me ask you this morning, are you cultivating a heart of integrity like Daniel was? Father, thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning. We thank you for each person here. Lord, under the sound of the preaching, I pray if there's somebody here this morning who's not saved, they're not sure if they died today where they're going, their heart is infected by sin. Lord, please help them even this morning to say, you know what, I need to change the direction of our life. I need the Lord to save me. And Lord, I pray if there's a child of God who's not living the way that you have called them to live, Lord, they make that decision to trust you during this time. And Lord, not to compromise, but to to build their convictions on the Word of God. Heads bowed and eyes closed. In just a moment here, Pastor's going to come and lead us in a song and lead us in an invitation. I just want to challenge you, as heads bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Nate, I know that I'm a Christian. I know that I'm a child of God. But there's some areas that maybe that I've compromised in recently, or I've been tempted to compromise in. And that's exactly what I needed this morning, that I might not compromise. I understand that God's word's enough and that I need to stand alone and have a heart of integrity. Maybe this morning, maybe a teenager and say, I don't have any convictions of my own. I haven't built my convictions on God's word, and I need to be in God's word that I might be able to build my convictions on what the Bible teaches. Here this morning, and some of those truths may apply to you. That's very important. At the moment that pastor's going to invitation, come forward and get those things right. This morning, you may be here today and say, hey, Pastor Nate, honestly, I'm not sure if I die today where I'm going. Pastor Nate, I don't know if I'm going to heaven or if I'm going to hell, but I'd like to know. I really would like to know. Can I tell you, you can know today from the Word of God. It's the most important truth this morning. You can know for sure before you leave this church building that you have a home in eternity, that you can be named a child of God. Your sins are forgiven. Remember, your heart's infected by sin, and Jesus Christ is the only one who can clean it. You're here today, it's an opportunity for you to come forward and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. Pastor, at this time, if you come.